You are listening to the Punk News Podcast, episode 669. And for the first time in months, we've just got what I guess you could call it a regular episode, no guests. Let's see. And we've had one, two, three, four. Oh, wait, four so far. Five, six, seven, eight. The last eight episodes have been guests, Em.
Oh, my gosh. So, okay.
And that doesn't even include, like, bonus episodes with guests as well or whatever. So, Em, this is features editor John Gentile, of course, and I'm here with site editor. Em, what's your title now? Like, what's your title?
Oh, I was going by news editor for a while, and I've just changed it to editor.
Yeah, I think you're more than just news editor now. How about, like, site co-editor? Like what do you want your title to be, Em?
Sure, I'm up for site co-editor.
How about co-senior editor? How about that?
Yes.
All right, so co-senior editor. M. Wait, that's a mouthful. Maybe we can.
I'm gonna add it to my email signature.
There you go.
Sorry.
There you go. Load it on up. So M's here, and I'm
here.
And so M, do you prefer the hanging out episodes or do you prefer the guest episodes?
We haven't had a hanging out episode in a while, and I've kind of missed them.
Yeah, me too.
Like, guests are fun too. Like, I mean, you know, get to talk to some pretty rad folks and meet a bunch of people, which is always really, really cool. A spider just dropped down from the ceiling, John.
Well, here's an interesting insect.
Holy hell!
I guess spiders aren't insects, but arachnids are. Arachnids insects?
Well, I don't know what the technical thing is, like why people say they aren't. I think they are.
They are not, Em. How do you like that?
What is the difference, though? Is it how they lay eggs? Is that it?
Let's see.
Oh, what are you doing?
Here's the difference.
Chilling?
Insects have three body segments, a head, thorax, and an abdomen, while arachnids have two body parts, a cephalothorax and an abdomen. And while do all insects have six legs? Because what's a millipede? Is a millipede not an insect? Maybe a millipede's not an insect.
I thought a millipede was an insect. And maybe same with, like, a centipede. What is it then?
My whole world is being turned upside down. And I'm going to turn your world upside down even further. But let's hear. Centipedes.
Okay.
They're arthropods. How do you like that?
Arthropods.
They're not insects. So they're like horseshoe crabs and that kind of a thing.
The things that live forever.
What do you mean?
Aren't horseshoe crabs, like, basically not immortal, but they have, like, an insanely long lifespan?
I don't think horseshoe crab. I think lobsters have the potential to never die. I think horseshoe crabs don't live that long.
Oh, okay.
But you might be right. There might be some kind of insect or something that has the ability to live almost forever. I know lobsters can, or like some lobsters are like 200 years old.
Ooh, yeah, there's that blue lobster.
Yeah,
it was like kicking around for a while.
The thing lived like 300 years. They're like, oh wow, blue lobster. Yeah. They killed the stupid thing. I mean, that's a stupid thing, the poor thing. You know what I mean? So.
You deserve to live another 300 more.
I do know that horseshoe crabs are basically the same since before the dinosaurs.
Yeah, they are living fossils.
Horseshoe crabs live 25 to 30 years.
Oh, wow. I thought it was much longer than that.
Oh, wait, no. I take that back. Up to 20 years. So there you go.
Aw, poor horseshoe crabs.
But so listen, and we're gonna talk about punk in a second, but here's a fact that's gonna blow your mind. Here's one other fact that is just popping on my Instagram right now. And did you know you can drive from New York to Japan?
How do you do that?
You start in New York and you head west. You go all the way across USA, go up to Canada, go up to Alaska, go across the Bering Strait, then go from Russia down to, looks like China or something, Mongolia. But I don't know how you get across the bridge to Japan, because Japan's an island. We're getting there right now. It looks like there's a bridge.
That's going to be a long bridge, isn't it?
I get. There's a bridge from Japan to Mongolia. So that's crazy. I didn't know that.
Oh wow! I thought you'd have to, like, get on a ferry or something.
Maybe they mean that. Maybe it is a ferry. Like I'm just watching like a 30-second Instagram thing, but to me that's cheating. Like I don't think that's dry. Like I could put a car on a boat. You know what I mean? And go anywhere. You know what I mean? So I think that's cheating. True. So anyways, but here's a fact that's going to blow your mind. Then I promise we'll talk about punk.
Yes.
So most figs are self-pollinating. Some figs require fig wasps. Here's what
Oh,
fig
yes.
wasps do. A non-self-pollinating figs have a tiny little hole in the bottom. Pregnant female fig wasps find that hole and climb in there, but the hole is so small that they almost always tear off wings and legs and antenna and other body parts climbing in, right?
Okay.
Then the female fig wasp gives birth and dies because she's so jacked up, right? The fig wasps, there's boys and girls, brothers and sisters. They mate with each other. Then
Ew.
the males, yeah, it is a boat. That's cheating. There's a boat from like China to Japan or whatever. Like, that's bullshit. That's a lie. I take that back. It's a total lie. So the brothers and
Yes.
sisters who are just born mate with each other.
Oh.
Then the males go to the hole and rip it open so the females can fly out. The pregnant females then fly out, then find new figs to fly into and repeat the process. Isn't that crazy?
That's gross. Oh
You
yeah, so you're
like
just like eating little bits of
Well,
wasps.
actually, I'm going to answer that in a second, but you know, there's the movie Aliens. They're like, wow, that's so
Yes.
far out. Like the thing jumps on your face and, you know, impregnates in your stomach and then rips out of your stomach. You're like, wow, there's nothing like that on Earth. It's like, no, fig wasps are so much more effed up than that. You know what I mean? Like the forms of life on planet Earth are so much more diverse and weirder than we think. It's freakier than any alien movie there is. However,
Oh,
Em, you
yeah.
say, so does that mean every time I eat a wasp, every time I eat a fig, I'm eating dead wasps? The answer is a
Yes.
lot of the time, yes, but you don't know it because it's so juicy or whatever. But
Ugh.
also, Em, non-self-pollinating figs in a mechanism somewhat similar, but not certainly not identical to Venus flytraps, actually absorb the dead wasp fragments and break it down into
Oh.
component parts to further grow the fig.
That's really cool.
That's far out, man.
Wow, holy. Yeah, really, like other extraterrestrial life is nothing on Earth stuff.
Well, there you have it. Anyways, Em, what's happening? What's going
Yes.
on?
Because we were talking about that. Have you seen the face hugger thing? The only thing that's coming to mind, I know like the actual scene, but the thing in Spaceballs where it like bursts out of the guy's chest again and does like the hello my baby, hello my honey, like dance down the restaurant bar thing. Yeah,
Yes.
that's going through my head now.
I'm glad you
Yeah,
enjoyed that, Em. I'm
it
glad you
was
enjoyed
good.
that. It's
It was
important to
fun.
have fun. It's good to have fun.
Very true. Yeah, what's new and exciting with you, John?
Well, we've got the Mean Gene show coming up on November 10.
Ooh.
We're pr almost definitely going to have another really awesome show on New Year's Eve.
Nice.
I'm annoyed by a lot of people, both professionally and personally right now. Professionally, I've got some people on the other side of the table that are just being total blockheads, them.
Oh
Um,
no.
and not even in like a fist fight. It's like we're trying to solve the same problem, but you apparently don't want to solve the problem and just want to keep talking instead of, you know. I guess I am in my personal life and in my professional life right now. I feel like I got a lot of people asking for stuff from John, but John doesn't get anything back from the equation. You know, I feel like I got a lot of people grabbing at me right recently. You know what I mean? And
Sure.
I become a guy that doesn't respond to text messages, which is bullshit. I mean, that really is bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I get a lot of text messages a day, and I started to not respond to a lot of them, man. And it's kind of a dick move, and I should stop it. But I'm annoyed at people. But I should stop it. Like, if the answer is no, I should just say no or something. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, like not at this time. I am extremely busy. Thank you for understanding.
So yeah. Anyway, so that's what's going on, man. But
Ooh, that's
listen,
rough. Yeah.
we had a punk news. You know,
Punk news.
punk news is always getting flack. Whatever. Like at this point, it just totally bounces off me. When your website has been around for 25 years, then you can come talk shit. You know what I mean? But until then, whatever. Like, let's see you do. I've been telling these people, and I've been writing for punk news now,
Yes.
18 years,
Oh,
and.
right, yeah.
And for 18 years, I'm like, well, if you can do better, then do better. And no one has ever done better yet. No one's even tried. You know what I mean? Well, actually, some people have tried and they failed, and I've enjoyed the fact that they failed. But people, like true people, have tried. You know, and I'll give them that. I'll give them that. You know. But anyway, so you know, we get a lot of flack, and that's part of the game. But and we played this one totally right, and I'm glad we did, and I knew we would, and that's because Punk News treats things seriously, and as ridiculous as it is as it sounds, we treat Punk News like real news. You know what I mean? And I'm very proud of the fact that we do that.
For sure.
So there was rumors circulating that Fat Records sold to Hopeless Records, which was a shock, but not a shock. I felt this coming for a long time. But then again, it was like out of the blue, oh, Fat has sold to Hopeless of all people, you know, which is very much a commercial kind of non-edgy record label. Not that Fat is the edgiest record label. Edgy is the wrong word, organic. And someone in the comments, actually, a creep mentioned this in the comment, but he's right. And he said that, like, Fat Mike can come off as a real jerk or whatever. But even though, even due to that, even because, despite that, you feel like he cares about the bands on the label, which I agree with that. And do you agree with that?
Oh, 100% I agree with that.
So, yeah, like if a band is on Fat Records, Fat Mike and I guess Aaron approve and like that, you know. I wasn't shocked by the new and like there's other like and not that there's any one way to do things. Like Mr. Brett of Epitaph had said, he doesn't even like most of the bands on Epitaph. But by signing bands that he doesn't really like on Epitaph, that allows him to sign bands like The Garden, who ironically are now one of the biggest bands that have been on Epitaph in a while. But at the time, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
So
for
by
sure.
so you know, I mean, I can see virtue in both. On one hand, it's like, you know, I only sign bands that I like, and that's the mark of quality that we have, you know. And we're not in it for just the money, we're also in it for the art. But then there's the other perspective is, well, we need money to operate. So we put out some things for money, and that allows us to put out the art that doesn't make as much money, which I can see, you know, virtue in both of those.
For sure.
Hopeless, though, I would say is we want money, and this is how we know how to make money. You know, which I mean, everybody's got to make money, and people do enjoy the Hopeless. Let's step back for a second. And why do I dislike? I mean, I think the bands on Hopeless are pretty lousy. I mean, there have been good records on Hopeless. I think Kamen Rider put out a record on Hopeless, I think. But like any band on Hopeless now, I just think is terrible. Why? Why?
Lies.
What? What? Who's on Hopeless? That's good. Who do you like?
Stan and Lanik are on Hope, or yeah, are on Hopeless, which are good. Scene Queen is on Hopeless.
They might be fine. I've never heard of it. Those bands might be fine. Actually, I don't know. So. I'm gonna briefly look at records that came out on Hopeless this year, very briefly. Sam I Am. I mean, people. Oh, these are all reissues. They put a lot of reissues.
Fair enough.
Anyway, whatever. Let's not get sidetracked. So, anyways, and why do I why am I so against Hopeless records? First of all, like, why do they annoy me?
I really don't know. Like, there is, do you follow them on social media or something? Like, do you just see
No.
too much of them?
It's kind of it's what it is. It's very melodramatic pop-ish or metalcore, like Avenged Sevenfold, who I can't stand. And I guess that's why. It's just not my it's not my bag. So maybe people that run Hopeless do actually like those bands. I guess they do. They
There
might.
are some good bands who
You
fit
don't
that
sign
bill.
Destroy Boys unless you like Destroy Boys. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
As opposed to this band, Fame on Fire. Have you heard this band, Fame on Fire? I'm just looking at them right now. Metalcore band from Palm Beach, Florida. Ugh. 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 This is why I don't like Hopeless, because they have terrible bands like that. That's why. And
How do
Yellow
you know?
and
How do you
All-Time
know they're
Low.
terrible?
The
Okay,
name is Fame
all-time
on
low is terrible.
Fire.
Sorry.
I'm gonna listen to Fame on Fire right now, and I'm listening to a song called Change. We're very loosey-goosey this week, and we're going to tighten up in a second, but I'm going to listen to Fame on Fire Chains right now, Em. It features Sim. I don't know who Sim is. Here we go. I'm listening.
Sim. Oh,
This is bad.
also, Hopeless has Margaritas Podridas, who are a really, really good punk band out of Mexico right
And
now.
Flame on Fire is terrible. I'm sorry, Flame on Fire, if you're listening, but they're terrible.
How do you describe them?
Adult contemporary with nu metal riffs and a little bit of rapping and emo posturing.
Oh, wow.
And they've got 180,000 views, M, on one video that just came
180,000.
out. Like, it
That
is
is
amazing that there's all these
terrible.
terrible bands I never heard of that are so much bigger than the bands that we talk about every week. You know what I mean?
They have good push behind them.
They do. But like the weird thing is, like bands like that is, I understand those bands were big in like 2005, but who's going to that concert in 2024? You know, somebody must be. Like,
Which
is
band?
Fame on Fire? Is it like
Oh.
sad 16-year-old or is it like sad 40-year-olds? You know,
Maybe it's both. Maybe they're taking their kids.
maybe like oh man, this band. I listen. The point of this podcast is not to beat up Fame on Fire, but they're pretty bad.
No.
They're bad. So anyways, so everyone's like, oh my God, Fat sold to Hopeless. And there was an article that popped up that said, we definitely know this for fact. It's the real deal. And like, it was almost written like a 14-year-old that doesn't know and is trying to act like he knows something is saying something to somebody else. Like, it's totally real, man. It's totally real. And I'm like, you know, this just doesn't feel right. So instead of just reposting blind info, we reached out to the
Yes.
source and we say, hey, Fat, like, what's the deal? You know? And at first they were vague. And I'm like, so is your response no comment or that you're in discussions with Hopeless? And the response was, there's been discussions. And so the fact of the matter is, it is not clear if Fat has or has not sold to Hopeless. Fat Records have told us directly that they are in discussions but have not sold. And other articles that were maybe jumped the gun a little bit got taken down because maybe they were wrong or incorrect, while we am were correct and handled the news correctly.
You always have to double check journalistic integrity. You got to make sure things are true, which
True.
is, again, more than what actual newspapers are doing. So we're on the side of journalism.
So that's the set. So anyway, so Punk News yet again wins the day, which felt really good, Em. Felt really good. But more to the point, Em, is I'm certainly not a Fat Records hater, but I'm not it is amazing how deep the fandom of Fat Records go. I mean, there are people that have been fans for Fat Records for decades, but also they kept get I mean, up through the 2010s, they were still getting a lot of fans. And any band, if you're a band on Fat, you've got an automatic audience. Like, if Fat says we've signed this band, you've got an automatic audience, and a lot of them will be your fans for life, you know?
Oh, for sure.
So Fat is one of the maybe last few independent labels in the punk world that has a very strong brand to it. You know what I mean? Like, people, they put out a particular kind sound of music that you pretty much know what you're going to get, and that speaks to a particular audience. You know, I don't know any
Yes.
other like Alternative Tentacles, if you ask me, best record label in the world, but there's no one Alternative Tentacles sound. You know, Epitaph doesn't have one sound or one identity. Even, well, Hellcat sort of does, I guess. Yeah, Hellcat does.
Kind of, yeah.
But they're not as long lasting as Fat, and they don't seem to have the immediate force. Like, if Fat says you should listen to this band, a lot of people will, and there will be a lot of automatic fans. The best example might be Pairs, who jumped up like nine levels when they
Oh,
signed with Fat.
yeah.
So anyways, the reason I do that preamble is it does feel like the end of an era, M, and you know, like I said, I'm not a Fat maniac. But I like a lot of the bands on Fat. I love Mean Jeans, you know. Dwarves have put out a record on Fat. Trying to think who else is on Fat that I really like. It feels like, I mean, and we don't know that Fat has sold to Hopeless yet, but you know,
Right.
if I don't know, but if I had to guess, I would say there probably is some kind of sale imminent because Fat, Mike, and Aaron are divorced, and I can't imagine trying to run a business with your ex. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that, I'm sure that's not easy. But also the releases on Fat have really slowed down. They haven't put out a band that's new to them since a long time, actually. Their last one, two, three, their last 15 albums have all been bands that are on Fat Records previously, you know?
Sure.
And they only put out like 10 records this year so far, which for Fat is actually not that many. They've been used to put out 30, 40, and 50 records. Well, like not 50, but like 20 or 30 records, you know? So they've really cut
Right.
down on the output. So I would say this seemed to be in the tea leaves. But it does feel like the end of an era, and I'm saddened by that. In the context that like Fat represented a very specific era. Well, it represented two eras in punk, actually. It represented the 90s era, and then it also represented kind of the Fat resurgence, which happened starting around 2010 when Clowns and Pairs and Ezra and Get Dead and all those guys put out another record that I love by on Fat Records, Morning Glory. And so Fat really did have like a resurgence, you know, and it be they became a hip label again. And now that Fat appears to be up for sale, or will be, or likely will be, it's a marker of one's own mortality, and that you don't get to stay young forever, and that everything lives and dies, and that eras end. And I know that's going to be particularly hard for a lot of our readers, because a lot of our readers are still in the hot water music era, which ended 15 years ago. But you know, Fat was an iconic label, and not that it's necessarily going to disappear and go away. But if a bigger label is buying a smaller label, it almost always just becomes an archival release, and they just kind of repress some things and make money. And I don't necessarily think the Fat brand or bands on Fat will be made a focus, if you will. And I don't think Hopeless is going to start putting out Fat style bands, because their bands don't sound like Fat at all. And so it feels like it's the end of a big era, like a real big era, and it's sad. And I feel like this represents a very big cultural change in punk rock. What's your take?
I agree. Because like again, Fat Records is like the sort of like landmark, you know, like they've been independent. They have only put out like stuff that they are very vocal about caring about and
True.
believing in and you know, like all that kind of stuff. From everything I've read and seen and heard, like they treat their artists so well, like you know, it's a really good place to be if you know, you that's what you want to do, like you want to put out music and stuff. So I am sad that they are in talks to sell. It's not a done deal yet, you know, like signs
We
might
don't
be
we
pointing
don't we
to
don't
it.
we don't know that. I mean,
Right. It
we
could
don't know.
be.
It could be, but we don't know that it is, you know.
Well, right now, anyway, it's not pointing to like, you know, that everyone's signed and ready to move on or whatever. So again, don't want to kind of jump the gun in that regard. But if they are, you know, like that would be a pretty major like loss, definitely, in the punk world. They've put out, like I said, so many great things. It does make sense if that they are in talks because again, how long has Fat Records been around? They've been around so long. Exactly like what you brought up, John, like Mike and Aaron are divorced and I can't even imagine like working with your ex-partner for that long, you know, without it starting to kind of wear on you a little bit, at least in some capacity, subconsciously or consciously. And then like NoFX did just finish their farewell tour. I remember like a couple years ago when they started the Bottles to the Ground imprint, it was like, oh yeah, this is going to be
But
run by what?
is that an imprint, M, or is that a separate label? I think it's a separate label, which is telling.
I think it's an imprint. Because there was a MEFS thing that I went to like the pre-order for, and like it was on Bottles to the Ground website, but I went to the pre-order, it went to the Fat Records website.
But I don't know him, but I think Bottles to the Ground is a separate label that is
Oh, okay.
distributed through Fat, you see, which is different than Fat being a sub-label of Fat, you
Oh,
see.
sure. Okay. Well, if that's the case, then that kind of changes what I was gonna say, because it was like, you know, that whole thing was like Mike and everyone at, from NOFX, like what they were gonna do after they'd retired from shows. So if that is a separate label and it's not like it's only distributed through Fat, then that kind of changes things, because obviously like that will continue, or you think that would continue after if Fat does decide to sell to Hopeless. I was kind of surprised that Hopeless was the like the choice, I guess. Or I guess who had the best offer or whatever. Like, I'm sure there's so many labels out there who, if they heard Fat was up for sale, they'd jump at the chance. So yeah, I guess we'll just kind of have to see what happens. I think if anything is concrete, it'll be, you know, in the next couple weeks, we'll get a more like solid answer. Other than, oh, you know, talks are just going on. But again, maybe we won't. Maybe that's all it is. Maybe it is just talks. Maybe there's nothing more to it than that. Who can say? If it is more than that, it's definitely going to be a pretty big loss.
I feel bad for like a lot of the bands. Not that I'm a fan or a hater, but bands like Lagwagon or bands like Me First and the Gimme Gimmes, or even like, you know, let's see here, who else is a recent a Bad Cop, Bad Cop. Let's see here, who else? Clowns, Real McKenzies, No Use for a Name, who, like. They've always had a home, and that, like, I feel like if
Yeah.
Lagwagon or Joey Cape or whoever calls up fans and says, I want to put out a new record, they'll be like, okay, we'll do a usual deal that we always do or something. You know what I mean? Like, that's all gone now, you know? And you do think about like the amount of bands that are supported or a part of Fat, and that, I guess, what's what I'm looking for. That safety net is gone. That's kind of crazy, you know?
Yeah, like if they want to do something, what are they gonna do?
They gotta find a new label, probably. Because I don't think I doubt that Hopeless will have kind of the open door policy that Fat appears to have, and I certainly don't think they'll get behind it as much as Fat does. Because as we've said before, like when you invent something, there's a certain oomph you have behind it, you know.
Yeah,
But
exactly.
when a company buys something, things tend to get neglected, you know. And so yeah, so it really is the end of an era. I'm sad about it, even though I'm not a huge Fat fan. It's the end of an era. I'm sad about it. And yeah, so I don't know, and we'll see. But it's a bummer and kind of a shock, you know. Although the writing was
It
kind of on
is.
the wall. So yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like the
Yeah.
punk world is going to change, because when you look at like punk rock bowling, Fat is such a big part of that, you know.
That's
Or
true.
any of those kinds of festivals, Fat is a big part of it. And the whole aesthetic, and not that I'm a huge fan of that aesthetic, but it's been there for so long, and now I feel like that's going to dissipate. And really, what I'm saying is it underscores the point in that one of the great things that M does for the site is bring all these new punk bands that are kind of a different form of punk than Fat Records or, you know, Beardo Punk, because that's all yesterday's news, and M is bringing the current stuff. And so you have to keep moving forward. I would say you have to remember the past, but you got to keep moving forward. And the shock here is this is yet another kick in the pants to say keep moving forward. But Fat is now going to move from contemporary punk M to back in the day punk, which is sad because it reminds people of their own mortality, and myself included. And it just, you know, nothing lasts forever. Like, here's what
Right.
it is. It felt like Fat was always going to be there. You know what I mean? It
Yeah.
really, you know, and they're not, you know, and that's a big part of punk. Even, like I said, and it's comforting. Like, You go
For
to the
sure.
website. I don't care about Lagwagon, but I like having Lagwagon at the site. Like, oh, Lagwagon's going on a tour. I don't care, but I like seeing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like that, I guess that here's what it is. Here's exactly what it is, Em. And that them, I don't know if you have a comment or not. Punk is very ambiguous. There are many, many different kinds of punk, you know? But a certain type of punk, not my favorite kind, but a certain kind collaborated, or what was what I was looking for? Clung the wrong word. Starts with a C is what I'm thinking of.
What are you trying to say?
Like the way like bees go to a hive. What's that word I'm looking for? Not collaborated.
The way bees go to a like they're drawn to it, kind of.
Well, yeah. I can't think of the word. I'll think of it later. But like there was a certain chunk of punk rock that you could identify. This is punk. Punk's still here. If I want punk, here's the punk space. You know, now
Yeah.
that's gone, and punk is much more fractured now. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, there's
Okay,
Maximum Role
yeah.
kind of punk rock. There's M Moore kind of punk rock. There's John G. weirdo punk rock. And it all sort of seemed to orbit to a degree, fat and fat type music. You know, like here's the intersection of punk, and punk sprouts out in different directions. But here's kind of, I guess, the baseline kickoff. And this is where, if you go here, there's going to be punks here. You know what I mean? Or punk here, you know? And now
Yeah.
that fat hypothetically is gone, that connectivity is gone. And we've got a bunch of little factions of punk rock now, but not one central orbit around a baseline of punk that most people agree is punk or punk-ish, you see. So it makes punk feel much smaller than it was in the past. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like your central meeting place is kind of gone.
Right. Like you go to punk rock bowling and you see all kinds of punks. You see drunk loser punks, you see art punks, you see old school punks from 78. But if that disappears, you feel a little bit more alone. Like, where's the punk at? And the answer is there is no big hub for punk. There's tiny little pockets, but no more big hub. And with fat going away, hypothetically, that big hub is gone. And I think most people would agree when it comes to punk, fat might be the biggest hub, frankly. Epitaph
Yeah.
isn't strictly punk, you know?
Yeah.
And who else is there? Like who else? Alternative Tentacles is weirdo artsy punk, but they're not as big as fat. And you know, people certainly don't swarm to Alternative Tentacles like they did fat. Discord is punk, but the
Yeah.
fact of the matter is Discord is more or less archival these days, you know, and they're only DC, not anywhere, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's Rise Records, but Rise feels very corporate, where Fat felt like it's Fat Mike and Aaron. You know, that's the difference. You know, Fat Mike and Aaron
Yeah.
like these bands and want you to hear them, whereas Rise feels like, who can we make money? You know, what can we sell? That's the difference, you know. And so
For sure.
it feels like the biggest central meeting hub of punk, where you can go to find punk, is gone, Em. And it feels like the punk universe is smaller because there's so many more factions and fractions now. That's what I'm saying. That's my main point.
Yeah, I would agree with you if that does go. And is sold and changes completely, like that's definitely like one lighthouse kind of shut off where it's where do you go kind of from there? Because I was trying to think of record labels and it's the same thing. I can think of like so many, but they're very regional
Right.
or like, you know, obviously they're not as big as Fat, but it's one of those like if you know, you know, and if you don't, you don't kind of thing.
Right, right. Where's Fat is
And
if you don't know,
yeah,
you can come
here's
find
Fat.
out. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, it's a very like welcoming vibe
Yeah,
too. It's not
it's like people are like, if you know, you know. You see that around a lot. If you don't know, come to Fat. You know what I mean? So it's sad, man. It really is sad. I
yeah,
don't think Fat, I mean, if Fat does sell, and we don't know that they have or will, but
exactly.
I don't think they're just going to disappear, but I think it's going to be the same as always, you know, just dimmer and dimmer and dimmer until the flicker is gone or almost gone. You know what I mean? So yeah, man,
Yeah.
it's a bummer, dude. It really is a bummer. Well, listen, I don't know, Em. Last quote, not to drag this out. Will a label come and replace fat? My guess is no. I don't think so.
But that's so tough because it's there's so many, but none come to mind as like a contender. Do you know what I mean? Where
Right.
it's like, obviously, there's lots of labels who are doing great things and like, ska and different things. And oh, well, if I want to, kind of get into ska, I'll go to like Bad Time or whatever. But like, where is that in punk? Like, if that is gone, where do you go?
Yeah.
I really can't think of any unless a bunch of like smaller labels kind of join together or join forces somehow and do like kind of a big push. So it's sad in that way, but like it's also just as a silver lining kind of thing. Now you kind of have to seek stuff out a little bit more and
But I
you'll
think,
get to
well,
know more, you'll get to know different like kind of variations and like stuff. You'll get to know more about kind of where you are and things.
here's my not to drag this out is I Fats crowd fat cr actually Fats crowd does have a lot of ages. It's not one
It
age,
does.
but it does skew to towards the middle age. You know what I mean? There are certainly fans of Fat, especially like Bad Cop, and some younger fans. But I think the vast majority of Fat fans aren't going to seek stuff out, and they're just going to kind of listen to what they've always listened to, and the stuff that is around now, the M-War type stuff. I think maybe you're going to see a break in the punk flow, in that where punk morphs and grows. You're not going to see a morph and a grow. You're going to see a break and a totally different audience inhabit the punk sphere. But what's interesting, Em, is a lot of M-War bands and those kinds of bands, they are punk, but they don't call themselves punk. They don't really use the word punk a lot, And part of it is
That's fair.
because those people are 22, 23, 24. They're younger. When I was a teenager, you see people dressing like the UK subs. Like, oh, that's punk, UK subs. That kind of died out after the 90s street punk. And so the younger people, the 20-year-olds, the 22-year-olds, they don't necessarily have that concrete connection to the first wave of punk. You know what I mean? So punk to them is something different, and they're less concerned about being punk. When I was a teenager, if you were in the punk world, quote, being punk was extremely important. Like, you better be punk, I the young people don't care about that concept at all, at all. And so I wonder, maybe it's like jazz. Maybe punk, as in capital PUNK, is phasing out. I don't know, Em. I don't know. I don't
I
know.
don't think so. I don't think so. 'Cause it like it's an idea more than anything.
Yeah, but like, the young people don't call themselves punk as much, really, do they? I don't think they do. Like, we're gonna talk about Tetchy later on
Think it
today, and
depends.
like, I don't think Tetchy calls themselves punk, even though they are punk. But they're not like, we're a punk band. They're like, we're a they'll have like 19 adjectives, like, we're a grunge, crazy, blah 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 band. But they're not, whereas, Blank 77 is, we're a punk band, so we'll
They
see.
have punk in, I'm just looking it up, but on Bandcamp, the tags they have are DIY, punk, rock, alt, grunge, and indie.
Right. And
And
not.
on Instagram, oh, they just in their bio, they just have very, very loud and very, very quiet.
Right, exactly.
That's
Whereas
funny.
Blank 77 would be
That's
punk.
true.
That would be their tag. Punk. So.
Right.
So yeah. And speaking of the evolving state of punk, and maybe perhaps the loss of the word punk, Scal has released a new video. It's somewhat anticipated, in that it's their first release since the Psychic Dance Routine EP, which came out like maybe 2 years ago by now. The new single is called Special. There's a video for it, and they've signed to Dead Oceans Records, which is the same label that has like, what's her name? Not Phoebe Bridgers, but
Yep,
her, what,
Phoebe Bridgers is on
oh, she,
that label.
okay, yeah. So Phoebe Bridgers, which is, a pretty, pretty big artist. So like Phoebe Bridgers and Bright Eyes and
Japanese Breakfast is on there.
Japanese Breakfast, but like, so kind of like an indie label, I guess.
Slow
Mitski,
Dive are on there
Slow
too.
Dive.
Oh yeah, Mitski.
So all those kind of hip, certainly not punk bands, kind of indie rock-ish or even pop, you know.
Well, I have Shame. Shame's kind of post-punk.
Kind of post-punk, but you know, not hardcore, you know what I mean?
You're
And
not
so
hardcore
anyways,
punk.
so what M, what do you think of this new single? What do you foresee happening?
Well, first, just with the label kind of talk, I was in one way I was surprised that they left Flatspot, just
I was a little,
because.
well, I was surprised, but
Sorry.
I'm not surprised because there's a lot of buzz behind Scal,
Yeah.
and when a band has a lot of buzz behind them, they do tend to leave labels that are one genre and go to labels that are bigger that aren't quite as concrete as the one genre. I'm sorry, go ahead. I wasn't surprised at
Yeah.
all.
No, like that's.
I was actually surprised it wasn't a major label, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I could easily see that, like that being the next step or something. No, what I was gonna say is like I was surprised that they left Flatspot just because it seemed like they were like I don't know, it just seemed like there was such a kind of community sort of feel to it. But I mean, like you're right with they're going to a label that has like, oh my God, like artists that sell out stadiums and shit. You know what I mean? Like it's a good jump for them in that way because they're going to get so much more exposure. Like, I don't know what the views are, and numbers don't matter, but like, I don't know what the views are
But numbers
on
do matter
the.
in this world, then numbers do matter. Let's look at the
If
number of, let's see
someone
here.
sends me a Spotify listens or whatever in their press release and it's right at the top, I delete it.
Well, listen, I
Because
hear
that
that, Em,
bothers me. I
but
understand that, like, you know, you got your met you have to use metrics or whatever, but it's like I think YouTube's probably a better bet for videos, at least.
so they have 20,000 views on the new video.
20,000 views. Okay,
Well, that's a
sure.
lot for punk, but that's not huge by any means. You know what I mean?
What's the view count on Psychic Dance Routine?
The song,
The
19,000.
video.
Good question. Let me look that up. Here it is. Wow. I take it all back, Em. 135,000.
What? Oh my God. I was not expecting that.
Me
Okay.
neither.
Holy. Wow. All right. Well now.
Shotdown has 356,000 views.
I'm honestly shocked. Like I'm kind of wow. That's great. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, I didn't realize they were that big.
Holy. So maybe this one's just like a, oh well, it's only been out for what, like a day?
The other ones have been out for a year. This has been a day.
Yeah, a bit of a difference for sure. Yeah, so the song, I thought the song was good. Like I liked the mix of Kat's vocals, like the clean and harsh stuff, and whatever they kind of near the end when they layer the stuff, that was really, really, really cool. I liked. Or they layered the vocals. I really enjoyed that. I thought it sounded good. The song's definitely like it's not hardcore punk, but it's not like indie rock, but it still has this heaviness to it that I think's really good. And they're gonna hang on to that 100%. Kind of as they move through. And I do think they are going to have more hardcore songs, and I do think they are going to have more maybe like dancey songs and stuff too. Like we've talked about, I think last week a little bit, kind of blindless speculation. But the video was something that I don't know. Like the video kind of took away from the song a little bit. For me, like I thought it looked cool. It looked very kind of 90s sort of feel. And then the other band members who aren't Kat in like paper mache masks, like with all these weapons and stuff. And then there's like mealworms and everything. Like it was horror-y and it was pretty cool. And then at the end when she takes the chainsaw and like slashes the screen and it cuts away to lyrics like or sorry not lyrics credits. I thought that was really, really neat. And I get how it like relates to the song, but it just didn't seem like it really fit to me. I thought their two cool things on their own, but I didn't really feel like they meshed well. What did you think?
So
Oh, also, actually, I just have an issue with somebody in the comments on this.
in the Pugliese
Somebody,
comments.
yeah, somebody in the comments said, I've never listened to Paramore, but I expect this is what Paramore sounds like. No,
Yeah,
it
Paramore
is
doesn't sound like this at
not.
all.
Paramore sounds completely different, so do not. That is all. John,
Honestly,
your thoughts?
I think they're just saying that because Kat Moss dyes her hair and so does the singer of Paramore. So it's actually kind of
Yeah.
sexist. Like, oh, two
Oh, it
women
is
that dye their
100%
hair,
sexist.
the two women that dye their hair, they must sound exactly the same. You know, that's just kind of an asshole statement. Whatever.
Oh, 100%.
So listen, I love Scal. I love the remix of Psychic Dance Routine. I love the Scal album. I like the Psychic Dance Routine EP. I love the first two EPs. I wasn't blown away by this. And part of that is I lived through the 90s, Em. I lived through the nu metal 90s. And it was not a cool scene, man. Like
It was a time.
it was bad. And I hope Scal isn't doing, and I was never a Code Orange fan, but remember Code Orange put out that album and
Oh.
it was like a nu metal album and it was horrible. It was like
Yeah.
bizarrely bad. It's like I don't know why you thought this would. You know, and the band pretty much never did anything after that. And the guitar player joined Marilyn Manson's band after, to show you how bad it was.
Yeah.
This kind of had like a slight nu metal tinge to it, and I'm like, why is that the thing these days that like punk bands go nu metal? You know, I mean, I'm not saying this is nu metal. Like, I would
No.
love a Scal pop album. I think I would have been like my favorite album of the year. You know, and not that Scal has to make music for me, but I'm just making my own personal taste. That being said, this isn't a nu metal song. There are perhaps tinges of nu metal in there, but it is daring for them. It's something different for them, which I can get behind.
Yeah.
And I'm going to draw a parallel in that when Amoebics put out the reunion album, Black Mass, and all the controversy from Amoebics that happened like 6 or 8 years later, put that aside. We're not talking about that. We're talking about strictly Amoebics, the band, pre-controversy. When they put out the reunion album, Black Mass, they put out their first track, which was, I think, You Were Always Free or something like that. I'm gonna look it up real quick. The first track they released from the reunion and their hiatus of 30 years was the last track on the reunion album. And I distinctly remember not loving it. And a lot of people, when it came out, really were not a fan. Knights of the Black Sun. Is what it was called. And a lot of people kind of were not blown away, and they're like, oh, like this is not what I was hoping for from Amoebics after being away for 30 years. Like, I want the raw crushing power of Amoebics, not this track that almost sounds like Pearl Jam, maybe. And I was kind of bummed out. And then I got the album. And the album, I remember driving to work. I put the album in my CD player and I s was smiling because the album was so good. I was smiling. I was literally laughing. I couldn't believe how good the Amoebics reunion album was. And then when it got to the last track, it sounded totally different to me because I heard it in the context of the rest of the album. You know what I mean? And I'm like,
Right.
oh, it's not Pearl Jam, it's Joy Division, you know? And you wouldn't think those two things would be similar, but they've got maybe a similar tempo, you know? And I'm like, oh, this song's amazing. And I think for Amoebics, it was a poor choice to make that the lead single because it was out of character, unless you hear the other tracks, in which case it isn't character and it's them doing a new thing. And now I love that song. Not my favorite song in the album, but I do love it. And I love the Amoebic Sonic Mass album, probably the best reunion album of all time. And so I'm like, wow, now I get it. And so I don't love the Scowl track, Em. It sounds a little too nu metal for me, a little too, oh, let's do what Code Orange did, or even let's do what Ceremony did. But honestly, I think Ceremony, well, Ceremony did a little bit better. But maybe I'm being cautiously optimistic, and I'm holding out hope that I'm just not hearing it right. I'm not hearing it in the right context. And then maybe if I hear it in the context of the album, it'll make a lot more sense to my ears, and I'll love it. You know, when Scout put out Psychic Dance Routine, I didn't love it, and now I love it. And so maybe that's what's going to happen. My fear, Em, is that there's some people whispering in their ear, you should make this. Like, I don't know who's going around whispering in bands' ears that they should be influenced by nu metal, but it never works. Like the Code Orange record
There's
was a
some.
disaster. It was a disaster. So, like,
Yeah.
who's got that idea? Why is that a thing? You know? And so I hope that's not what's happening. I hope no one's whispering in their ear. because they don't need someone to whisper in their ear. They're an amazing band and they've made amazing music. And like I said, I wasn't blown away by this track. I was a little underwhelmed, but maybe once I hear it in the context of the album, maybe I will be blown away, just like I was blown away by Meebix's Knights of the Black Sun after I heard the whole album. So that's where I'm at. And I wasn't blown away, but I'm hoping I will be once I hear it all. Because I love Scal. They all seem like nice people, and I want them to succeed.
I'm not.
But, you know, there is the temptation when you're a fan to say, to even lie to yourself. Oh, it's great. I love it, you know. But I don't love it, but I don't love it right now. But hopefully I'll love it in 2 months. You know what I mean?
Yeah, hopefully it's just like a context thing or whatever.
Yeah.
So. I don't think it's bad. I think it's decent.
But you don't think it's great. Are you blown away by it?
I'm not blown away by it. When they released Psychic Dance Routine, like the single, that like floored me, and I listened to that, fuck, I don't even know, like 10 times in a row.
Yeah. So like is someone whispering? We do see this trait this happen a lot with Ceremony, even with Fucked Up, who kind of came back around again with Code Orange. Punk bands get signed to a bigger label and then a bit they don't do what makes them special. You know what I mean? They try to do something else. And I'm all about bands doing something else, but be you, you know? And that's what was kind of annoying about Ceremonies. Like, oh, now we're New Order, but more boring, you know? Oh, now we're Gary Numan, which is kind of good, but not as good as Gary Numan. And then we'll deny that we were influenced by Gary Numan and then cover Gary Numan on that very tour. I'm still annoyed by that, Em. Like, no, you're literally doing Gary Numan Ceremony. You are literally doing, just say it. No one's going to be mad at you. People probably be like, yeah, Gary Newman's cool. It's cool you're doing Gary Numan. It's like, just say it, you know?
That's funny.
And I don't know why they, actually, here's the answer, Em. Here's the answer.
Yes.
Is as big as we might think a punk band is, metal bands, and alt rock bands, Em, are so much bigger. And then pop is even bigger than that, you know. And so that's why it happens. And so I guess if you do sign to a bigger label, they want bigger numbers. Like punk is insular, maybe not now that Fat Records is gone, but punk is insular in that something might feel like it's huge in the punk world, and it's infinitesimal. You know what I mean? Like,
oh my god, yeah.
So. You know, I don't know. I mean, like, I wasn't blown away by the single. I'm hoping I will be, you know. So let's see here. Yeah, I don't know. Any other words on that?
I should pick a new metal album for Album Battle.
And new metal is, were you going to say new metal is good? There is no good new metal. One good new metal band or album even? New metal is terrible, Em. I was there, Em. See, that's the thing is, you weren't there.
I was not there.
I saw so many terrible new metal bands open for Danzig, open for Gwar, open for Slayer, open for Motorhead, even open for Judas Priest. It was so bad, Em. It was so bad. And the weird thing is everyone hated them. Like those bands got booed nonstop, but they still sold lots of records. So someone must have actually liked it, even though everyone booed them nonstop.
Slipknot's great.
Well, people do love Slipknot. I don't know if I would call Slipknot new metal. But Slipknot's not as bad as some of the bands. But I'm not a Slipknot fan. So, I used to like Soulfly, I guess. But now I listen to Soulfly, it sounds bad to me. Or at least the new metal Soulfly sounds bad to me. The thrash Soulfly sounds good to me.
Sure. Okay.
So anyway, I'm going to jump around a little bit because we're running long, which isn't a problem.
Oh, shoot. Yeah.
We don't want to run too long, I guess. So this is actually pretty cool. Green Day is
a
demastered version of Dookie was it the 35th anniversary or something of Dookie? Is it
30th.
30th.
Yeah.
So they're putting out Dookie on obscure formats, including a Teddy Ruxpin, an electric toothbrush, an X-ray in homage to Russian X-rays from the 60s and 70s. Billy the Singing Fish. It looks like an answering machine. A Game Boy cartridge. A floppy disk, a wax cylinder, a doorbell, and some other items. It looks like a hip clip, if anyone remembers what a hip clip is. It looks like an acetate record, but they're only making one of each. So it's clearly a marketing gimmick. But, I go back and forth on Green Day. You know me, Em. Em, I'm giving three thumbs up. This is hilarious and funny and cool and new. I don't think any punk band has ever put out a Teddy Ruxpin format before. You know,
I
we're
don't
doing
think
like
so.
this is awesome and hilarious, and I'm all for it. I think this is one of the coolest things BJ's ever done. This is hilarious. The other cool thing would be Billy Joe being high and throwing a hissy fit on stage,
Oh,
and
God.
screaming that he's not Justin Bieber. I think this is one of the coolest things Green Day's ever done, and this is hilarious and awesome and cool. It did get some bloke. You know, some of our readers are just humorless. Some readers were annoyed by this. Like this is funny and cool and great, Em. Do you agree?
When I saw this, I laughed and I thought I had to like triple check that it was real. And it's so funny because we both got the story in at the same time. And then I was like, oh shit, you already got it. So, yeah, I was like, is this a real thing or is this a meme? Are they just like pulling our legs? So funny. The singing fish, the singing bass, hilarious. I love that. That's so good. The fact that Pulling Teeth is a song on the toothbrush just makes it like that much
Ah.
better. Oh yeah. Yeah, like they thought about this. Like this is not just like a oh yeah, just slap whatever on whatever, you know what I mean? So that's pretty funny. Teddy Ruxpin is scary.
Do you know what you know what Teddy Ruxpin is? That's before your time. But you know what Teddy Ruxpin is?
Isn't it like a thing that you can record your voice in?
Not really. What it was like back in the mid-80s is you would buy Teddy Ruxpin and then like tapes, and he would tell you
Oh.
stories. It'd be like the Three Little Pigs or something, and his mouth would
Oh.
move. And the idea was to like 4 or 5 year olds would like sleep with a Teddy Ruxpin, and he would tell you stories, you know. And so now
Okay.
he'll sing Green Day for you, which is hilarious.
So that. It's like Chucky, but a bear.
Actually, I think Chucky was inspired by like a toy called My Friend Billy or something, and
Oh
Teddy
no.
Ruxpin. Like Teddy Ruxpin is a direct influence on Chucky.
That makes a lot of sense. I can see it. I can really see it. What is a hip clip?
Hip clip was a failed format. It's kind of a dumb idea in that it's what it really is an MP3 player before an MP3 player. It's this tiny little device, maybe an inch by an inch, and you buy a song and you pop it in and it'll play that one song for you. So it's like an
Oh.
MP3 player that only plays one song at a time.
Oh, okay. Not what I thought it was going to be. Neat. Well, not really neat, but that's something someone thought was a good idea and went through with it. Good
These things
that
are
Green
awesome.
Day's keeping it back.
There's a music box. There's a Fisher Price record. There's a mini disc,
Yeah.
an answering machine,
Oh, the piano roll thing.
track of piano. These are awesome. Like, these are really awesome. Like, Green Day really knocked it out of the park on this one. They really did. Like, I don't even really, like, this is making me a Green Day fan. Do you think Green Day came up with this, or do you think some marketing company came up with it and just threw it past Green Day?
It's a, I think it's a collaboration with like an art studio. So I think they probably went to Green Day being like, hey, do you want to do something fun?
Yeah.
Excuse me. And they probably like worked together for it. What would your thing be? Like, if you, what do you, what would you want to own out of all of this?
I would either want the Teddy Ruxpin or the X-Ray record. The
Oh,
fact of the
cool.
matter is, I'd probably want the X-Ray record because I can probably resell that for a lot of money. Whereas the Teddy Ruxpin is probably just a Teddy Ruxpin with a tape put in its back. You know what I mean? So you could actually make your own hypothetically, whereas the X-Ray record you can't make your own. So honestly, if I'm going to try to win any of these, and if I get it, I'm selling it in 3 seconds. I mean, it's cool, but I could sell this to listen Green Day, listen Em, I sold a Green Day test press once, so I know what
Yes.
Green Day fans are willing to pay. And so,
Oh.
you know, now if it was a Dwarves or a Melvins thing, that would be much more of a difficult choice, you know.
You'd have to keep it at that point.
I think I would. But
Yeah.
anyways, so anyway, this is awesome. I think it's cool that Green Day's doing this. That's very cool.
Very cool.
Let's go from interesting and clever to boring and lazy, Em. Record Store
Oh
Day
gosh.
2024 Black Friday has released the list. And the list has
Yes.
almost no punk on it whatsoever. The only punk, and it usually has a fair amount of punk. This time it's the Ramones are on it, but it's just the vinyl version of their generic 2000 Greatest Hits record. Rage is putting out a live EP. Tegan and Sarah are re-releasing So Jealous. It comes with the second disc of demos. Jane's Addiction is putting out a new single. Gaslight Anthem are re-releasing their... Well, actually, they aren't. The record label they were on at the time is re-releasing a live record. English Beat are like re-releasing their first record again. And other
Circus
than that,
Survive has a 10-year anniversary of Descensus.
Wow. That's great. that's awesome.
Please calm down.
Let's see here. Billie Eilish is putting out just her vocals, which is, I guess that's interesting. I wouldn't buy that, but maybe so. I'm trying to think of, like, would I want Freddie Mercury's isolated vocals? The answer is not really. I want the whole band. You know what I mean? Yeah. So anyway, the point being, Em, is, you know, everyone is, it seems that everyone's a record store day hater these days, except for when you actually go there and it's busier than ever. I was at the last record store day. And it was the biggest, busiest one I've ever seen. But I got to say, Em, this looks pretty lazy. And I'm pretty disappointed by the Ramones, because the Ramones have been putting out amazing things. They put out that box set of the mid-80s records. They The demos from before the first record, which was amazing. They put out the alternate version of Pleasant Dreams. They put out a bunch of really cool live records. Like, the Ramones have been on fire with these archival reissues. And then everyone sued each other last year and this year. And Mickey Lee sold his publishing to Joey Ramone. And so I feel like the party's over, Em. Oh, let's just take our generic greatest hits album that isn't even the famous one, Ramone's Mania. It's just the generic one that we made as a budget CD. Let's just put it on a record. I feel like it's pretty much lazy. The one thing I am excited about is the Michael Rose live album. No, I'm sorry, the Michael Rose studio album with Subatomic Sound System and Holly Cook. I'm very excited about that. But that's the only thing I'm really excited about. The Big Frida record I'd be into. Oh, but yeah. I got to say, this looks... I gotta say, I think this list is very lazy, Em. What do you think?
But there's a Bluey picture disc, John.
I don't even know what Bluey is. I thought Bluey was Blue's Clues, is a different blue dog. Is Bluey a dog?
Bluey is a dog. Bluey is a girl, and Bluey is Australian.
Well, how the hell can you have Blue's Clues, which is a blue dog, and then Bluey the dog? I feel like it's a ripoff.
Well, Bluey the dog does not interact with humans. Everyone in the world is a dog.
It's still a blue dog, though.
Well, it's a blue heeler, which is like a real breed.
I don't see how that makes it not a ripoff. That is a real breed.
Bluey and Blue's Clues are vastly different shows.
but I'm saying they're not, because they're both blue dogs.
Yeah, there's a lot more to it than blue dogs.
But I'm saying the main thing is that they're both blue dogs. I mean, why couldn't they make Bluey green and call Greeny or something? I wouldn't be as offended by Bluey if it was any color but blue, frankly. Or red, because there's Clifford the Big Red Dog. So they still got orange, green, purple, yellow.
Orangey.
There you go. Anyway, I feel like this is a very lazy list. Do you feel like this is a lazy list, or do you feel like it's not a lazy list?
When we do this, I always kind of go through and see, what are some weird things that they're putting out, because I was seeing that, the Bluey thing. Fun fact, that's out on something called Demon Records, which I think is hilarious because it's a kid show.
Demon Records is a famous UK reissue label. They actually put out a lot of stuff like that. They put out a lot of T-Rex records. They're actually a very respected and well done reissue label.
That's awesome. So I just thought the name was funny.
Take that.
I just thought the name was funny because it was Bluey. But yeah, no.
And
if
you want
doing
a 7-inch
cool
single?
Stuff, that's awesome.
You want a 7-inch single of the Beatles doing I Want to Hold Your Hand, which you can buy anywhere for about a quarter, but you can spend $20 for it now.
When I can get Steve Martin's King Tut, I'm okay.
So anyway, I was interrupting you. Are you excited by this, or do you feel this is boring and lazy?
There's not a ton of stuff on here that really kind of piqued my interest. There's usually a couple things. I don't collect records, but there's usually some things that seem really cool. And then with this, it was just kind of I feel like some of these have been on here before, and then I see, or and some of them seem we want to get kids involved, or we want to get different people who might not know a lot about records involved, and kind of things like that. So I didn't see many things. The Tegan and Sarah thing is cool. So Jealous is up for the Polaris Heritage Prize. So voting is still open. You can still vote for that
It should
for
be
a
the
couple more
con. They should have done the
days.
con, not So Jealous. The con's better. I mean, So Jealous is good, but it's a little uneven where the con is bulletproof all the way through. How'd
You
they
never
screw that?
know.
How'd they screw that up so bad, Em? They should have done the con.
It could be on next year. Like,
And
fans are
also,
in for multiple things.
why are Tegan and Sarah always so sad? They're always so. I love Tegan and Sarah, especially So Jealous, the con. I love the pop album. We were the one before the pop album.
High
Heartbreak, I
school?
think. No, High School was all right. Was it Heartbreak, I think it was called, or no, Closer. I think it was called Closer.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
Closer.
I've seen, what is it, close, like that's like the Joy Division thing. Is it Closer or is it Closer?
I think it's closer.
You're right, because the song is I Want to Get Closer. It's not, yeah, you're right. You're totally right. Anyway,
Hey.
is it the one? No, Sainthood. I like Saint. No, I'm sorry. Heartthrob. Heartthrob is
Oh,
really
right.
good. Love You to Death was all right. Sainthood was all right. The Con is awesome. So Jealous is awesome. Cry Baby was actually pretty good. But why
Yeah.
is Tina and Sarah always so sad, and they're always so sad? What are they so sad about? They're rock stars.
Oh, well, there was that thing where I think it was Tegan was like had a person online like impersonating her.
Yeah, they had a stalker. There's actually a documentary coming out about a stalker.
Yeah.
So I definitely want to see that. But that aside, is that why they're both so sad all the time? Because they had a stalker like 3 years ago or something?
I don't think they're sad all the time.
I
Like, I
think they're
think
sad. Do you ever read their like monthly newsletter? It's always bummed out, Em. They're always bummed out.
I didn't know they had a monthly newsletter.
I do as a Tegan and
Oh,
Sarah fan,
okay.
Em. I do. And they're always like just bummed out. It's like, oh my God.
Hey, the world is a shitty place sometimes. Maybe they're like expressing it. They're getting it out. They're purging themselves of the sad.
And why do they refuse to release a good live record? In that they released a live record called Get Along, but it was mixed really weirdly, in that it was a full band. But they mixed out the band and just left Tegan and Sarah, so it sounds like a really odd record. Like it's one of
Oh.
the oddest sounding records I've heard. Then they've got like an acoustic live record, and they've got a couple of cool live 7-inches, but they won't put out a full-on live album, man. Why? Why?
They want you to go see them.
That's true. I saw them twice. One time they were totally awesome, and the other one time they were totally off. I've told this story before, but I'll tell it very briefly. So I saw them in
Yes.
Santa Cruz once. It was on the Con tour, and it was awesome. And they did all of the Con, but backwards, which was kind of cool, you know.
Oh, neat. Okay.
And plus, they had a very rare demos CD for sale at the merch table that I bought, M, and it is worth. Let's see how much it's worth now. Give me a second here. I'm gonna look it up. Here it is. The demo. $1.96. Oh no, that's the single. Let me see
Oh
if
my gosh. Almost
I
2 bucks.
can. Oh man, where is it, man? Well, maybe I can't find it. Maybe they took. Maybe it's like. Oh, here.
Did you find it?
I forgot about the song Back in Your Head, man. That song is awesome. And do you remember that song? Oh,
I
yeah, it is
do.
the Con Demos. That song's so good. That's why the Con should win. Here, the Con Demos. M, it is worth
Yes.
$88.95.
Ooh,
I
okay.
bought it for $20.
Hey, that's an investment.
I probably wouldn't sell it though.
No.
Because I actually own every single officially released Tegan and Sarah song ever, except their first three demo tapes, which sell for like $3,000, which I'm not gonna buy, you know.
Yeah, it's a bit steep.
Anyways, so here's my other Tegan and Sarah story.
Yes.
So, well, it's kind of a long story. I'll tell it as briefly as I can.
Yes.
So, one time I was at a house show in Philadelphia, and there was this little girl. She was 18, but little girl to me, like standing there, like looking scared at like the house show,
Oh
and
no.
the show was over, and she seemed like lost or something. I'm like, oh, like. Do you know how to get back to? And then it turned out that she had just moved there for college. It was like her first week there and didn't know anybody. You know what I mean?
Oh
And the house show
yeah.
was in actually a pretty dangerous area. Like actually, like she probably didn't know. It was like a pretty bad area. You know what I mean? So
Sure.
I got her a taxi cab, And then I don't think we were friends, but we were friendly acquaintances when I would see her around. You know what I mean? So she
For
got a
sure.
job at a radio station, and she says, "John, I know you like Tegan and Sarah. I love Tegan and Sarah. Let's go see Tegan and Sarah because I got tickets from the radio station." So I said, "Okay." So we went, and it turned out that it was like them reading from their book and playing acoustic, which was honestly
Oh.
kind of boring. On it was kind of boring, you know. But it was super awkward because the whole thing was about them coming out and realizing they were gay or whatever. And I think that she was, I guess, a woman or the girl that took me. I think she was just coming out herself or whatever. And I'm like 12 years older than she is, and it was super awkward, them, because they're up there like telling all these heart-wrenching stories about coming out, and
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, this is so awkward. This is, I just wanted to end, em. It was. I just wanted it to end. I was like, oh my God. So, anyways, so that's Tegan and
Nice though.
Sarah.
She shared it with you. She shared something.
I don't think she knew what was that, though. Actually, I think she thought it was just Tegan and Sarah, like live, but it wasn't. You know what I mean? But
Oh, it was a surprise.
one of my big regrets, though, is I missed the Tegan and Sarah pop tour where they did all their songs as pop songs, which I really regret not going to.
That would have been cool. That would have
But
been
yeah,
really cool.
like, why did they put a live album out of that, Em? Just anyways, Tegan and Sarah, they're cool.
Maybe
Anyway,
they will.
this list is boring. Whatever. Let's see here. I guess I don't know. You want to shut it down, or you want to do one or two more stories? What do you want to
How are we doing for time?
We're running a little long, but if we want to do a story, we could do a story.
We'll do one more then.
All right, Tetchy, they got a new album out, Em. What do you think of Tetchy? It's called, the video's called Mommy. There's probably gonna be an LP or an
Yeah.
EP.
I hope so. They released their All in My Head EP earlier this year, and it's really good. Yeah, so right now this is just a standalone single, but hopefully more comes out. We've talked about Tetchy a little bit, I think, on the podcast, because they were a band where I don't know if it was recorded or before one of the episodes or whatever, but you said, oh, you should check them out.
Yeah, I saw them open for
Yeah.
Crazy in the Brains, and they were really cool.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, like let's see what this band is all about. And really, really liked them. They're really interesting, and they have like we were talking about earlier, like they have so much punk energy, and they're using it in the way that is just so good to see, where it's we're talking about what we want to talk about, we're saying it how we want to say it, we're presenting it how we want to say it, or we're presenting it how we want to present it, you know, like it, fuck you kind of thing. Which I think is great. They're loud, they're noisy, they're freaking awesome. So yeah, like the video for, well, Mommy, speaking about coming out, like that song is about kind of like accept or coming to terms with accepting and celebrating kind of like queerness and stuff. So I like the way that they did it in the song, obviously, but in the video too, it's like it's fun and it's funny and it's kind of sexy and like there's so much stuff going on. One thing is there is a toilet, and I found this out because I saw it on their Instagram page. The toilet they bought for $20 on Facebook Marketplace. Just like, whoo, my goodness.
Was it used? That's gross. Is it
I think it
used?
was used, but I'm
Oh.
pretty sure they cleaned it before they like filmed with it. So it was like a clean toilet. But still, I was like, oh my God.
I'm surprised anyone would buy a used toilet. I would think a used toilet would be negative money. I would think you'd have to pay people to get rid of your used toilet. That's
Well,
gross, isn't it?
do you have that like around
Do I have a
kind of where
toilet?
you?
Yes, I have a toilet in my house.
No. I'm glad to hear it. Like, do you have that thing where people just put toilets at the end of their driveways?
No. What are you talking? What? No.
Yeah,
That's weird.
people put
Canada
toilets.
is weird. Canada is weird. They put milk in bags. They put toilets at the end of the driveway. It seems weird. Seems like pagan, but not like cool pagan. It just seems like weird.
We worship the toilet and we drink from the imitation udder. But yeah, people like leave it out as like free furniture. You know, like someone would leave a couch at the end of their driveway or whatever. People leave their toilets, and it's really something because basically nobody picks these things up. And as the winter and stuff goes on, they crack and they get more like it, like gross and stuff. Anyways, that has nothing to do with this video, but just a cool toilet fact that I didn't know you could buy one at, on Facebook Marketplace for $20. But yeah, there's a bunch of ice cream imagery, and there's like all these kind of things, and the video fits the song really well, and it's just fun and echoes kind of perfectly. So I enjoy it. I hope there's more from Tetchy to come, and it's just so nice to have or to see bands doing stuff that's original, that's exciting, and that means a lot to them. And because it means a lot to them, it'll mean a lot to a bunch of other people too. So, John, what did you make of
And
the
Tetch is cool.
Tetchy
This
video?
video is cool and daring and weird and touches a lot of different sensory parts of your brain at once, and you get confused. You're like, ah, so yeah, I mean, Tetchy is a cool, daring, modern punk band. They don't call themselves punk. Tetchy is what punk is in 2024. But it's not called punk anymore. So maybe Punk News should not call itself. Maybe we should call
They do
ourselves.
call themselves punk, though.
But they also call themselves grunge and loud and quiet and everything else. You know what I mean? And
Yeah, it's
so
all
this
tied
is the,
together.
but is it? You know what I mean? But what I'm saying is, and this goes back to our conversation earlier, is that like punk might be losing its sonic and visual identity, and even the spirit of punk is in Tetchy 110%, right? The spirit is
Oh,
there.
100%.
What punk is 110% there, but it's going by a different name or a different aesthetic. You know, if you ask Jello Biafra, and I don't totally agree, Jello says punk existed before punk with the Stooges, which maybe that is punk, but then also with the Beatniks and jazz. I don't know if I agree with that concept or not. But this is Jello's philosophy. Punk hasn't always been called punk, and this is punk, but it's not calling itself punk. But I wonder if by not using punk as the main identifier, will something be lost or forgotten? And I think it will be. But that being said, that has nothing to do with Tetchy. This video is cool. Tetchy's cool. They're amazing live. You got to see them live. One last thing: Black Dahlia put out a just a one-off video, an ode to Melania Trump, talking about how he thinks Melania's Trump is hot, and all the commenters were like, "I bet Black loves Trump." Blah blah blah. It's like, it's amazing how much people project M. In that, did you listen to the song? The song is all about how much he hates Trump and he thinks he sucks and how he feels bad for Melania, who is attached to Trump. It's supposed to be a funny song. It's like, it's amazing how much people project. They're like, I bet Black loves Trump, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you're an idiot. Black has been vocal that he doesn't like Trump at all. And this song is about how he doesn't like Trump. It's like, people really just go by what they want to, both on under the, Trump people in COVID, but also in the punk world. They just want to hate Blag because they don't understand what he is, or he doesn't fit into their definition of what punk should be. And they don't actually engage with the art and listen to the very thing. So I just got very annoyed by that, Em. I got very annoyed by that. And I was going to fight in the comments, but then I had life to live, Em. You know what I mean? So I was annoyed. I was just so annoyed that, like, you didn't actually listen to this at all, did you? The song is about how ridiculous Trump is,
I was kind of surprised, because I read the comment, like I pulled it up, right? And then I read the comments before I listened to it, just because like I want to know what people, or they might be funny, or I don't know what's going on. So anyway, I was like, oh well, what's this gonna be then? And then I listened to it, and it's like, okay, they didn't read this at all.
I know, so
Like
annoying.
he's just exactly like he just kind of is ragging on Trump, being like Melania deserves better and she's pretty.
Although I would argue she doesn't deserve better because I feel like she's pretty rotten too, honestly. You know what I mean? But that being said, the song is
Yeah,
funny.
I don't know a lot about her, but like again, if you kind of sit by and let your
If you choose to marry
spouse,
Donald Trump, and if you choose to marry Donald
yeah,
Trump, I mean,
it's
she
kind
didn't
of right
have
there. If
you
she
know.
didn't have a choice, it'd be a different matter, but she had a choice, and yeah, it's like you could have chose a lot better.
Actually, she could have because she's good looking. So it's not like, not that a woman can only get married to whoever if they're good looking, but she is good looking. So she had options, and she chose Trump. That says a
Well,
lot, doesn't it? You know what I
and she
mean?
had a lot of connections because she was a Playboy bunny.
Well, there you go. You know what I mean? And she chose Trump. So whatever. I have no sympathy for
Yeah.
her. You know what I mean? That being said, I was
Not a
annoyed with
great
that.
situation.
One last thing, Em, since we're gabbing and rapping, Peter Murphy's putting out two live albums. One is him doing a bunch of covers, and one of it is him doing his normal live set with a few other covers thrown in. The second album actually has him merging She's in Parties into Be My Wife, the David Bowie song, which is one of my favorite Bowie songs, and my favorite Bauhaus song. So that's kind of cool. That being said,
That is cool.
I've seen Peter Murphy live. I love Bauhaus. Bauhaus is amazing. Amazing. I've seen Peter Murphy do all Bauhaus 3 times. It was amazing. I've seen Peter Murphy do Peter Murphy. It was astoundingly boring, Em. Astoundingly. I don't know how he makes such boring music. And so, Em, first question.
Yes.
Did I buy this live album of Peter Murphy doing Peter Murphy songs?
Without a doubt.
Because I'm an idiot. I did. But did I buy the covers album, Em, where he covers Iggy Pop, Joy Division, David Bowie, Prince, Magazine, Elvis, and Johnny Cash? Well, not Johnny Cash, Nine Inch Nails.
Yes.
I did. And honestly, I'm pretty psyched on it. I think it's going to be pretty awesome.
What one are you most stoked for?
The live, I mean, the covers album, the live covers album.
No, I mean, like, which cover?
Good question, man. I will say Joy Division, because that's kind of cool, man. Bauhaus covering Joy Division, essentially. That's pretty cool. Purple Rain will be interesting, but and Elvis will be interesting, too. But I hope it's, like, full-on band, and I hope it's not just, like, Peter Murphy and some douchebag with an acoustic guitar, which he does a lot, and is just, it's like, let's give the fans what they want, but do the worst possible job at it that we can conceive of, you know, and just do like who wants, like, if a band says we're going to do covers, you're like, that's cool, but we're going to do them acoustic. Who wants that, Em? Who wants that?
Unless they're songs that were previously acoustic. That's the only time it's okay.
I guess the reason artists do that, because it's kind of easy to do, you know what I mean? And, you know, doing a full band is hard, but traveling with acoustic guitar is easy. But I hope it's full-on band, and if it's not, I'm going to be bummed out, and I'm probably going to be bummed out, I think. At any rate, you know, it's cool. This is cool. I'm glad I got it. I haven't heard it yet. Although, is it kind of pricey? $40 a record, which I thought was kind of ridiculous.
Oh. That's so steep. That's very steep.
Yeah. So, anyways, anything else you want to talk about, Em, or should we shut this on down?
Oh, yes. Check out my interview with Meredith of Ladder that's up on Punk News right now, and listen to their album because it's really good. And also, just be cool.
Yeah, be cool. Don't be a dick. All right. Well,
exactly.
Welcome back to the old school Punk News podcast. Well, not old school, the current school.
The current school.
Not to drag this out, I'm going to shut this down. But yesterday I was thinking how many different eras and forms the Punk News podcast has taken. And it is pretty cool in that, like, it's morphed and changed a lot over its 15-year existence, 18-year existence, the podcast. No, 18-year existence. Mm. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Oh, wow. It's been around for 18 years.
Maybe not 18 years.
Close to it.
What year
did it start in?
Well, we can do it this way. We've done at least 52 episodes a year ever since the start. We've never missed a week ever, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we're at episode 669, but not really, because there's about 100 episodes that are like – where I pause numbering because we need to get caught up. And that's not even counting, like, the 0.5 episodes. You know what I mean? Like, that's the episodes where we had to delay because we wanted to hit episode 500 or 600. You know what I mean? So there's really, of the Punk News podcast proper, there's probably just about 750 episodes. So let's divide that by 52.
Holy.
So 15 years. The Punk News podcast has been gone for 15 years. So, yeah.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. That is amazing.
Holy.
So anyways, this is where we're at now. Guests and rapping and gabbing and yapping. And who knows where it's going to go from here, Em? Who knows?
You never know. You never know.
And we will see you when, Em?
Next week.